Did you know that you can watch the next Femme Forte episode 1 week early on the Stride TV app? Use the code Femme Forte to get 50% off your Stride TV subscription for exclusive videos and live streams and to chat with me and our incredible community. Femme Forte is sponsored by Ultimate Drillbook. UDB app modernizes marching band. Spend less time, have more fun, and achieve at a higher level. Just upload your drill from Pyware into the UDB app and everyone in your band gets animations with your show music, precise pathways, synced music, notes, props, and so much more. It's just easier. Head to ultimatedrillbook.com and use code FEMFORTE when you order to get 20% off UDB App Pro.
Who's going to be a great role model for my students? You know, who's going to bring the right culture into the classroom? And that could be anyone of any gender, any color, any background, anything, you know, and that's, I think that's also important for my kids to see.
Welcome to FEMFORTE, a place where we have real conversations with influential female music educators and performers. I'm your host, Amanda DeVries. In this episode, I talked to someone who not only turned the tables for me, but this podcast. Kendall Santos currently serves as the assistant band director at Cedar Park High School. Despite pursuing band most of her life, band was not her first love.
So my grandma on my dad's side, she was in the Boston Ballet. And so she actually owned her own dance studio in like her basement up in Massachusetts. And so I was going to be a dancer, whether my family liked it or not, when I was younger. So I started enrolling in dance classes when I was three. And so I did that for about 12 years. And in middle school, I did both dance and band. And once I got into my eighth grade year, I kind of had to make a decision because my dance studio was really intense. They kind of train you to go into a professional dance career, and that's just not what I had envisioned, you know, quite as much. And so I chose the band path. And so when I got into high school, I did one more year of dance and then devoted the rest of my time to band. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, it's also cool that things are in a way a little full circle for you because now you're working with the Breakdown Camp, which is involving dance into, you know, more marching band productions, so on, et cetera.
Yeah. When I was in high school, like, I feel like movement was still very new to the activity. Like, doing a plie was very taboo and getting to do anything other than just, you know, park and bark kind of thing. And so it was cool because I felt like I got to be an example for a lot of things unknowingly. And now it's, yeah, it's totally full circle.
To a point, do you feel like in that being that full circle moment that you've kind of found a way to merge your love for like band and music and dance together?
Yeah, I think that's what draws me a lot to the marching arts is that because growing up doing dance, I grew up doing physical things and it wasn't necessarily sports. I'm actually really terrible at sports. But I liked movement and I liked moving my body and getting exercise through that. And so marching band kind of let me have a little bit of that outlet at least. And now with it getting more intense with the choreography responsibilities, it allows me to kind of scratch that itch that I haven't been able to do since I was 15. So it's definitely cool how it's evolved and how I get to kind of be a part of that. So
yeah. And you mentioned earlier that you originally went to school in Minnesota, correct?
Yes.
And you went to pursue both music education and music therapy. And yeah. Obviously now you're doing music education.
Yeah.
So was there a point for you that made you choose to want to pursue music education instead?
Yeah. When I was up there, I did a double major in both, which is a terrible idea. I was doing like 22 to 24 hours a semester, which is just stupid. But I loved both fields. I thought that they were both really interesting because I liked the psychology of music therapy, but I didn't really see myself doing it as a career. So that's when I started to pivot and focus more towards music ed. And that's when I realized going to school there, knowing that I wanted to teach ultimately in Texas, just wasn't going to get me quite as prepared as I wanted to be in the Texas realm. So that's when I decided to make the switch to transfer to North Texas.
You did do like drum corps like while you were in college, right? Like you were in the cadets drum major for a while. And with that being said, one of the things that made you stand out to me was the fact that like you're super passionate about leadership. I mean, you're on the Sassy leadership team, and not only that, but like you also have accolades in being like cadet of the year and cadet of the decade and do a lot of stuff with drum major summits and stuff like that. So what has made you passionate about leadership specifically in this community?
It's a really good question. I think the idea of servant leadership is really kind of what makes this activity super special, because you have to truly love it to kind of stick it out. And same thing for music educators. Like, if you don't really love what you're doing, it gets really tough, you know? And so I think the idea of being a servant leader and giving up your time and to help others experience really awesome things that made you fall in love with the activity is really powerful. And so that's, I think, why I've chosen to serve in that kind of way. Paired with kind of the discipline of it too, having that dance background and having to learn how to be disciplined at a really young age, I think has helped me be disciplined just in general as a human, which has helped a lot with the leadership side too, with like holding yourself accountable, others accountable, and learning a lot of life skills through that.
Yeah. There's a post I found on Facebook, actually. It's good, I promise. And one of the things that I've been meaning to ask you is you quote Daniel Morrison, and different doesn't always mean worse. And that really, like, struck a chord in me. And I want to ask you, like, what specifically about that quote, what does that mean to you? And how do you apply that quote surrounding kind of leadership?
Yeah, I think that if I were to quote Dan Morrison, I think it was probably during COVID, because he was kind of like forging this path with happy, not satisfied. And there was a lot of really cool things he would say. And he actually spoke to our kids within, I think it was the first day of school in 2020 when we came back after the lockdown, and school looked different. And so, but it didn't have to necessarily be a bad thing. And so just kind of reframing how you view things and changing your perspective, I think, is really valuable. And being a leader, whether that be, you know, being a drum major or a section leader or even a band director or a parent, you know, situations don't always pan out as you think they might. Life can throw you a lot of curveballs. And when things change, it doesn't always mean that it's going to be a bad thing, you know?
Yeah. And I think your dedication to leadership as a whole has not only helped you shaped you as the great educator you are. You know, one of the things that I really like about you specifically is like the fact that like you're so confident, and like there's honestly things like, you know, I know in myself, like I have a level of confidence, but one of the things, like, even in our very short interaction when we were at Team EA, is like you just project such positivity and confidence in yourself. And honestly, that's something that I aspire and hope to achieve and get there one day. And
awesome. Thank you. That means a lot.
Yeah, of course. And one of the things I also found was like there is a specific video where your symphonic band in 2019 went live, like for their
pre-UIL
concert. And one of the things that you had put like a hashtag, like first year teaching or something like that. But I mean, in my experience of talking to first year teachers, we're all like, what the heck's going on? Like, kind of like, you know, very frazzled. And obviously, like, for the first year teaching is always like the hardest. But in that like short video that I saw and how you introduced your band and the students, like, again, you just projecting that confidence, I was like, oh yeah, she got it. I was like, yes, like, absolutely. And I guess my question for you in that is like, do you think like the leadership skills that you learned, you know, like maybe like being a cadet's drum major and or your drum corps experience as a whole has helped you into like that confidence framework into like, you know, possibly making teaching easier as from being a first year to like where you are now?
I definitely think it helped. I will say though, what you saw in that video was a lot of smoke and mirrors. That you're right, that first year of teaching, it's really tough. I even remember my boss, Steve Wessels, who was amazing and is like a great cheerleader. He was like, first year always is really hard. And then he also said, he's like, this particular first year is very difficult. And I was like, great, thanks. And I was lucky to have a lot of mentors to help me get to that point. And what I think is really cool is that both him, Steve, and Chris, who've been at Cedar Park a lot in my career, they would breathe a lot of confidence into me. And I think growing up in the drum major role, you have to do that for the members. You know, you have to carry a certain confidence so that they feel comfortable and that they feel confident, whether it be to perform or to trust you or to, you know, if there's a staff change, believe you when you say like they're on your side and they're there to help you, you know, things like that. So I think having a sense of confidence, as long as it's authentic, yeah, is really important. But don't be fooled. I am also very introverted. Like I am not always this like outgoing drum major personality. And the older I get, the more introverted I get too. So it definitely comes out in shades, you know?
Yeah. And, I'm an introvert as well. And as someone who is like, you know, hosting a podcast and, you know, actively having to talk to people, I totally relate to that as well. Is there, a balance that you find between like, you know, your personal life and being introverted, as you know, and having to like, you know, be this outgoing, like, you know, leadership person and talking to your kids?
Yeah, I think so. I think when I was drum major, like when I was on the clock, so to speak, like I made an effort to try to meet different people at different times or talk to different students or different auditionees, you know, to make sure that other people felt comfortable being around me or being around the organization, because their thought and their impression of the organization was really important to me. And I knew that I could help influence that. And the same thing goes as a band director too. But both in drum corps and even now in my adult life, like I have to have my alone time. And if I can't socially recharge, it's not good for anyone, you know, and my husband gets that and sometimes doesn't understand that because he doesn't need that. But for me to be my best self for him and for my kids and the people I interact with, I definitely need that alone, quiet time, you know, sit on the couch and do nothing time to recharge so that I can be this outgoing and high energy person.
Yeah, I can literally, you're literally preaching to the choir right now. I am exactly the same way. I mean, like when, you know, UDB, we go on these trips and, you know, go to all these different conferences and talk to all these kids and interact and all that. It can be really draining.
It's exhausting.
Exactly. And so, yeah, I'm also the same way where, like, you know, anytime I get a chance in, like, my hotel room to kind of just decompress and, you know, recharge for the next day, I very much echo that. Out of curiosity, what are, like, some things that have helped you, like, recharge?
Yeah. For me, recently, it's been staying active and doing something physical. I didn't realize how much growing up with a dance background made me love movement and moving my body and how much joy that brings you.
Yeah.
And you can get into the science of it, right? Like the endorphins and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But doing something that is only for me is like really, healthy and like it brings a lot of clarity to my day. I typically like work out in the mornings, and if I don't, like I feel different and I can notice like I'm moving slower because I wasn't active this morning or, you know, things like that. And so that's my time for me to get in my own headspace, let my mind wander, do whatever, or let it be very present, and either one's okay. But that hour in the morning is kind of just for me. That helps a lot.
Yeah. And I think like when we talk about in the arts in general, there are a lot of different ways of expressing ourselves. And like you have found that, like, I think, you know, people who have incorporated dance in their life and movement, like that's just the way of expressing yourself. And I think when you like limit that, like you said, like if you don't work out or every day, you're like, who am I?
Yeah. In my first year to teach, I didn't do anything. It's for myself at all. Cause I was just like, I have to not suck at teaching. That's kind of where I was at. And so I was trying to spend as much time and you know, brain power towards that as I could so I wouldn't fail. And there was a lot of pros because I felt very devoted and like very invested in my job. But I also, you know, I wasn't taking care of me as much. And so I've been thankfully at the same job for 5 years, I've started to find this balance finally. So it's good.
One of the things, like, and you talk about like balance and mindset and like, you know, creating like the, you know, a healthy mind and healthy mindset. I heard a podcast that you were on called the Sketchbook Podcast.
By
I believe Daniel Montoya is his name. And one of the things I really like that you said, you talk about your takeaway from your time at the cadets, and you talk about you will find a way to make it happen. A lot of things are a choice and you have to decide how are you going to feel when you wake up. Like every day is a fight. Like, can you like go a little bit like further into that? Like, I mean, I resonate like off of that into like incorporating that into my everyday lifestyle. So I guess for you, do you incorporate that into teaching?
Yeah, that's like a big message we try to teach our kids. And it, what's really cool is that I learned that while I was with the cadets is, you know, that is a big thing is like you get to make the decision. Like you get to choose to wake up every day. No one's keeping you here. You can say, I'm going home, and you can. Like no one's going to stop you kind of thing. You can choose to have a great attitude. You can have it. You can choose to, you know, let it not be a good day. It's 100% in your control. The really cool thing I thought, or a thing that I thought was really cool was that Steve Wessels would echo the same thing. When we would get to like the competitive season of the marching band, he would always tell us, decide now how you're going to react. Or he would say that in terms of leadership results or band placements, honor band, you know, placements, things like that. He would always coach the kids, decide now how you're going to react and what you're going to do about that and how you're going to let it affect you, if you're going to let it affect you, and how you're going to celebrate others, how you're going to handle disappointment, things like that. And those are tough conversations because you're learning a lot of life skills and you're learning how to manage emotions. You're learning how to be mature and think of others. And those are some of the life skills I think that teenagers get taught through our activity in band.
Yeah. And I think that's so crucial. I mean, you know, I recently had, Katie Van Doren on the show, and one of the things she talks about is like the impact that, you know, band gives us, like, is far beyond music. Like, mm-hmm. Of course, like, I mean, obviously, if I wasn't passionate about music, I wouldn't be here. But but, you know, like, I think that that's like, you know, for some people it is like more of the reason why they join band. Like my brother, he's a mellophone player and he loves band. And I can tell you 100% it's not because he thinks he's the best mellophone player in the world.
Hey, there's a place for everyone in band.
Yes. And but it's, you know, the social aspect. And I've seen him grow in various ways. Like he stepped up to be the mellophone section leader. And honestly, like 4 or 5 years ago, I would have never thought that was something he wanted to do.
That's awesome.
And so that has not only helped, you know, create life skills and helped him build his character, but it goes in back to, you know, this is the reason why we do this. For some people, yes, music is everything. For other people, music is like, yeah, that it's really nice. But like, you know, I'm here because like I really am building foundations of like skill sets that I can apply to everyday life when I go out there in the real world.
Oh, 100%. Whether they be employable skills, relational skills, life skills. I mean, we always joke in the band hall, we always say we teach the whole child. Like you're not just a musician. You're not just a flute player. Like we teach you everything.
Yeah.
Whether it be putting the left foot forward first or whether it be like how to tie your shoes again because we forgot, you know, whatever, or how to wake up on time. Like those are all very important life skills that kids I think gain by being in some, you know, fine arts program.
I know there's like a couple of special moments like to you that have like helped or that have impacted you as an educator. One of those moments that you talk about was actually in 2019, where you say as a first year teacher or any teacher really, it's easy to get stuck in the day-to-day grind, right? And you go on to say the words she's breaking, today is the day, were spoken by a student in a rehearsal less than 24 hours before your first public performance.
And I can see this moment. I like remember the student and like where in the band hall we were sitting. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. And then you just go on to say that, you know, after listening to the pre-UIL recordings, you just like are so unbelievably happy with that student's progress. And can you share a little bit more about what that moment was and how it felt?
Yeah, I think it's really difficult as teachers of any kind, right? Of any, whether you be like a performing arts or even like athletics, you know, when you're working on a group project or a team project and your job as the educator is to make the product better, right? And to make the process more seamless and to make kids fall in love with the process and all those things. But in the middle of that, like you're trying to nitpick and find things to critique and, you know, improve this. Well, hey, you're slow on this. Well, you're rushing here and you're moving too fast. You know, whatever it may be, that sometimes you forget to just kind of step back and like realize what an amazing thing it is that, you know, 14 through 18 to 19 year olds are doing whatever it is you're having them do, whether it be playing, you know, the Pines of Rome, you know, on a concert stage, or, you know, moving at 182 beats per minute on the field, or, you know, executing something, right, as a team all at one time. And to realize how beautiful that is and all the hard work that it takes to go into that, that's really hard because, you know, you're passionate about it and you care, and it's hard to kind of see it from an outsider's perspective of, you know, gratitude and thankfulness of like, oh my gosh, we're able to do this thing. That's really cool. And to express that to your kids is even harder, at least for me. Like I tell my kids all the time, I was like, I will be the first one to tell you when something's not going well. And I'll probably be the last to tell you when it is going well. And that's something I'm working on as a teacher, because they deserve to hear when things are going well. They deserve to know when they're on the right track and what they're creating is something that's beautiful and worth sharing, you know, something to be proud of.
Absolutely. So one of the things like about this podcast is like, this podcast for me is not only to be able to highlight awesome people like yourself and awesome performers, educators alike, but it's also an open space to share some struggles we face as women in the community. And have you necessarily, as an educator or as a performer, ever really had any certain specific struggles within your career?
I've been really fortunate where in my teaching career, I've never felt like at a disadvantage for being a female. Yeah. I actually remember, I don't know if it was a podcast Katie Van Dorn was on or if it was some clinic she gave, I can't remember, but it was something along the lines of when people ask you, you know, what's it like to be like a female band director? And I'm like, I don't know. That's all I know. Like, I don't know any different. And I know that my situation is not necessarily the same for everybody and that is unique. And I don't take that for granted. But I'm definitely thankful that I've had a really supportive team, whether that be the team I work with and the band directors I work with or my admin team who hired me, that I've never felt like I've been treated any differently for being a girl. I was the first at Cedar Park, which is kind of cool. And then growing up, same thing. I never felt discouraged from, you know, being a girl or inadequate in any way. My challenges primarily in the drum corps world were because I had never marched. I wasn't somebody who like held an instrument, to then move into the role of drum major. And when I had started being a drum major with people like Caitlin Wolf, who was Caitlin Hall, we kind of grew up in the same era of drum corps where the outsider coming in to become a drum major was very new and very almost taboo and unheard of. And so there was a lot of having to earn people's like respect and like proving like you can do this, even though you've never marched, you know? And now that's like totally not the case in drum corps at all. There's so many open auditions and so many people that get to audition for those positions and those roles. But anyway, to answer your question, I've been really lucky that I haven't had to face necessarily female specific, you know, adversity in my job.
Yeah. And one of the things actually coming in today, I have been thinking about this for a while. And if you don't mind, I kind of want to ask you somewhat of a difficult question.
Sure.
So within me listening to the Sketchbook podcast you're on, you had mentioned, like, you know, in your friendship with Caitlin Wolf, that you have, when it comes to like leadership and your mindset, you have the mentality of when choosing the right person for the job, it doesn't matter necessarily the gender, and it's just who can ever perform X amount of job at the highest quality possible. And one of the things that you said that is I've literally been thinking about all day is you talk about, am I preparing women for this role, and or is this something to talk about? Am I perpetuating the problem by talking about it or not talking about it? You emphasize the fact that, yes, women should be celebrated to a point, but it shouldn't be at the fact that, like, yes, like you said, I'm just a band director. I'm not a female band director. That shouldn't be like my only identity, right? And to be honest, like with you, like today I was like circling. I was like, this is what this whole podcast is about. I was like, this is about, you know, it really made me take like a look inside, and I kind of went on a little spiritual journey today and like kind of rethink, like, you know, to a point, I really do agree with that. But I also am genuinely curious. I mean, I know you did that podcast about a year ago, but I'm genuinely curious. One, do you still feel that way? And two, I just want to hear your side of things.
Yeah. To be honest, I haven't thought about it a whole lot since then. But I would say I kind of still stand by that, and not like to put anyone down or anything, but just like a why not celebrate everybody all of the time kind of thing, you know. I will say that, like, you know, females getting more highlights of things, or, you know, there being more specific example, you know, female drum majors, like that was not the case when Caitlin and I were in drum corps, and so like that's a really cool thing. But also celebrating diversity in general, I think, is, you know, really important. But again, I think I still stand by, you know, let's say you have two candidates, like, who's going to do the job the best, you know, and yeah, so it's definitely tricky, and it's tough, and it can be really touchy. But at the end of the day, like for me, if I were an employer, like it would be who's going to execute the job at the highest level, who's going to be a great role model for my students, you know, who's going to bring the right culture into the classroom, things like that. And that could be anyone of any gender, any color, any background, anything, you know, and that's, I think that's also important for my kids to see, you know.
We are currently in production of this, like nearing the end of season one. And it's been such a journey so far, like interviewing so many different people from all different walks of life, all different perspectives. And it was literally like the pinnacle point of today. To be honest with you, when I first initially started this podcast, this project, this stemmed from me having conversations mostly with female educators who did struggle. And I will tell you, out of probably a good half of the people were very fortunate not to experience any struggles. And to be honest, on the hosting side of things, I was like, oh no, what kind of questions do I ask now? But this is all more the reason why I wanted you to be a part of the inaugural season of this, is to, I consider myself as someone with an open mind and willing to hear the other side of things. And to be honest, like, after hearing specifically that part, one, I listened to it like three different times, like throughout the
Did
day.
Did she actually say that? I'm kidding.
but like, honestly, it helped change my framework. And yes, the core point of this podcast is still to, you know, support women, is to still like share your voice. But at the end of the day, it's not just my voice that I'm sharing. I'm literally providing the space, platform, the spotlight on whoever I'm interviewing. And at the end of the day, I just want, you know, the good, the support, and the uplifting of everybody sharing their personal experiences, whether it is bad or not. And I just felt like mentioning that, because that even, you know, I took some self-reflection. I was like, you know what, actually, I think I really agree with this, because the team that we have at UDB, I am one of two women on the team, and I am literally I could be wrong, but I think I am the only one person of minority, and being a woman of color, mm-hmm. And being a part of different minority communities. And you know, a part of me was like kind of in your same boat, where when I originally got hired for the position that I'm in, I was like, you know what, that's true. I don't want to be hired just because I'm a woman and I fit this company's like check boxes for, you know, minority and all that. And so I don't know. Like I said, you really made an impact on me today. And I really took the time before, you know, this interview today to really think about those things. And again, all more to the fact of why I wanted to share your voice, share your perspective on things, share your experience, because I think it's really valuable. And obviously, if it made an impact on me, I'm sure it will make an impact on the people watching and listening.
Well, I'll definitely say, you know, there are some people who, like, that is their avenue of, like, expression is, like, I am a female band director and I'm going to be known as, like, the most badass female band director on planet Earth. And that's totally cool. Like, I definitely don't want to, like, you know, put that fire out. Like, if that's what you want to be known as and help, you know, provide support and role models and everything for, like, go for it. Like, that's amazing. Like, there need to be people like that out there. I just want to be known as a great band director, period. You know, like, so, yeah. I definitely don't want to squash anyone who's like, they use that as their avenue of, like, influence. Cause I think that there should be people like that too.
Exactly. I mean, at the end of the day, this is not, a thing to separate men versus women. Mm-hmm. Like, literally, like, when I started this, I was like, this is not going to be, like, you know, super feminist leading, like, you know, like men are trash. No, that's not like, that's not what this is about. At the end of the day, this is about, again, just having, like, for me, I am passionate about female empowerment and creating that community of women in this community. Mm-hmm. A part of that is also just finding that balance where at the end of the day, I'm just talking to great people. And I am very fortunate to be talking to wonderful people who have done awesome things.
Very cool.
Yeah. Well, before we wrap up here, I do have one last question for you.
Yeah.
So kind of, you know, relating to your first year of teaching and to where you are now, having the knowledge that you had now, what is something you wish you would have told yourself, some advice you would have given yourself as that person who was just coming out of dance and about to, you know, step right onto the field of being a band student?
Yeah. It sounds cliche and cheesy and I get that, but like, I still believe it. You know, I would say don't put any limits on yourself in anything. When I was trying to, you know, I was a freshman in high school. I wanted to audition for the leadership team and I don't know why, but I was gone the day that they did the drum major training. And I was like, well, I'll just kind of figure it out and I'll try out just because I want the experience for my junior year to actually like get after it and go for it. And I worked really hard and I auditioned, I guess, pretty well. And I ended up being a sophomore drum major. But I didn't think I wasn't going in at all with the intention of actually doing that. It just like, it kind of worked out that way. And had I not done that, I don't know that I'd be literally where I am today in this very chair, to be totally honest with you. And the same thing happened for, you know, when I was initially auditioning for the academy and I didn't think, I was like, there's no way that they're going to pick this person who's never marched before, who doesn't even live in Arizona, knows really nothing about the organization, and they're going to trust them to be a drum major. And then they did. And then the same thing happened with the cadets and even my job. I was like, there's no way they're going to hire a first year teacher from, you know, the Dallas area. That would be highly irresponsible, right? In this, you know, band program that has a lot of, you know, history of success. And then I ended up teaching there, you know, so I wouldn't ever put a cap on what you're capable and what you're able to do. And if you're going to do it, I mean, you better get after it and you better not be hesitant about it. And I think that's a thing that students need to hear, too, is if you're going to go for a job or if you're going to apply for a school or audition somewhere, like you need to walk into that space like it's already yours. Not cocky, of course, but you better walk in with your head up high and your chest out and walk in with a lot of confidence, because I think that can speak to a lot of what you're capable of bringing to the table and could mean more than you know, in your interactions with people. So,
absolutely. Well, where can our listeners and viewers find you? I don't know if you want to throw out a website or social media.
Oh, gosh. I'm like, I feel like I'm getting older on social media. You can definitely find me on the Facebook, you know, for any of you that have one still. I'm on Instagram rarely. I'm more of a stories person, I guess. But Kendall123 Santos is where you can find me. I am not on Twitter or TikTok or what? be real. I'm not on any of that.
Neither am I.
Yeah. But yeah, those are the two platforms I'm on.
Well, thanks again for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Femme Forte is produced and hosted by me, Amanda DeFries. Theme song is by Humans Win. For more information, follow us on social media at Femme Forte Podcast and StrideTV.com.